Welcome to This Week in Nephrology. This week we are covering 7 notable papers spanning advancements in kidney transplantation, novel insights into risk prediction and genetics in chronic kidney disease, and the evolving paradigms of patient-centered care models. Let us dive in. We begin in the realm of kidney transplantation, where matching protocols and immunologic risk stratification continue to grow more sophisticated. A key area of interest is how we evaluate and manage pre-transplant performance and immunologic barriers. In the journal Transplantation, a multicenter French cohort study evaluated the significance of preformed donor-specific antibodies targeting the DQ alpha chain. While transplant clinicians have historically focused on antibodies against the beta chain, the alpha chain is also highly polymorphic. Analyzing over 2,000 transplant recipients, the investigators found that anti-DQ alpha donor-specific antibodies are surprisingly common, accounting for more than 35% of all anti-DQ antibodies. Most importantly, the presence of these preformed alpha chain antibodies was independently associated with a more than 2.5-fold increase in the risk of antibody-mediated rejection, and was linked to significantly higher microvascular inflammation scores on 3-month surveillance biopsies. This highlights a critical gap in traditional antibody screening and suggests that we must incorporate DQ alpha typing into our clinical risk models. Addressing the challenge of the highly sensitized patient, another study published in Transplantation investigated a novel desensitization protocol using the interleukin-6 receptor antagonist tocilizumab combined with intravenous immunoglobulin. This prospective-controlled cohort study focused on a predominantly Black American population, a group that historically faces disproportionate barriers to transplantation. The study enrolled highly sensitized candidates with a median calculated panel reactive antibody score of 98% who had already failed at least 3 months of standard intravenous immunoglobulin therapy. Those treated with the tocilizumab combination were significantly more likely to experience a reduction in their calculated panel reactive antibody levels during the study. They also achieved more frequent removal of high-impact unacceptable antigens, allowing 3 patients to undergo successful transplantation across previously prohibitive barriers. Crucially, this reduction in antibody burden did not translate to an increase in early post-transplant immunologic risk, as rates of rejection, graft loss, and BK viremia were comparable to controls. These findings suggest that interleukin-6 blockade represents a viable and safe adjunctive strategy to expand transplant access for our most difficult-to-match patients. To round out these transplant insights, a recent paper in Kidney International Reports reminds us of the systemic factors at play, evaluating how United States kidney transplant programs measure and optimize pre-transplant performance. Together, these studies emphasize that improving transplant rates requires a dual approach of advanced immunologic management and the refinement of center-level metrics across United States programs. Turning our attention to chronic kidney disease progression and risk prediction, we look at a highly practical question regarding surrogate endpoints. While the urinary albumin to creatinine ratio is the established gold standard for predicting kidney failure, many clinics worldwide rely on the cheaper and more accessible total urinary protein to creatinine ratio. A study, Dialysis Transplantation, utilized data from the Chronic Kidney Disease Japan cohort to compare these two markers directly. Tracking nearly 3,000 patients, the researchers found that a 30% reduction in the total protein ratio over 2 years was associated with a roughly 48% reduction in the risk of progressing to kidney failure requiring replacement therapy. This benefit was remarkably similar to the 42% risk reduction seen with a comparable decline in the albumin to creatinine ratio. A 30% reduction in total protein over just 1 year yielded a highly consistent risk reduction. However, the authors note an important caveat. In patients with an estimated glomerular filtration rate below 15, the predictive value of total protein decline was weaker than that of albumin, likely due to a shifting urinary albumin to protein ratio in advanced kidney disease. For daily practice, this means that total protein remains an excellent, cost-effective surrogate for tracking disease progression in mild to moderate chronic kidney disease, but we should transition to albumin-specific measurements as patients approach stage 5. Understanding who is at risk for rapid progression also requires looking at the genetic underpinnings of diabetic kidney disease. In the Clinical Journal of the American Society of Nephrology, researchers applied general population polygenic risk scores for kidney function and albuminuria to over 1,300 adults with type 1 diabetes enrolled in the landmark Diabetes Control and Complications Trial and its observational follow-up. They found that polygenic risk scores derived from the general population do indeed predict kidney outcomes in type 1 diabetes. Specifically, a higher polygenic risk score for estimated glomerular filtration rate was associated with a significantly higher continuous filtration rate and an 18% lower risk of developing an estimated glomerular filtration rate below 60. Interestingly, the genetic risk factors for filtration decline and albuminuria were distinct, as the filtration rate risk score did not correlate with albuminuria, and the albuminuria risk score did not correlate with filtration decline. Additionally, the researchers confirmed that a specific variant in the COL4A3 gene was associated with a 23% lower risk of macroalbuminuria, but this protective effect was only apparent in patients who received conventional glucose-lowering therapy, suggesting that intensive glycemic control might overcome or mask this genetic predisposition. This work highlights that while we share genetic risk pathways with the general population, the pathophysiology of diabetic kidney disease involves highly distinct genetic tracts for glomerular filtration and barrier function. Our final theme explores how we structure our care models to better serve the complex holistic needs of our patients. The American Society of Nephrology recently published a landmark report in the Clinical Journal of the American Society of Nephrology outlining the Saving Kidneys, Hearts, and Lives initiative. This workshop focused on the concept of cardiovascular kidney metabolic, or CKM, syndrome. The report emphasizes that nephrologists must move upstream in the disease process. Rather than focusing primarily on advanced, rare, or end-stage kidney diseases, nephrologists need to collaborate across traditional specialty boundaries with cardiology and endocrinology to implement screening and therapeutic strategies much earlier. The workshop identified key systemic barriers to this transition, including training gaps and United States payment structures that fail to provide adequate resources for complex chronic care prior to the initiation of dialysis. When patients do reach advanced kidney failure, our care models must also evolve to prioritize their personal goals. A narrative review in the American Journal of Kidney Diseases advocates for a paradigm shift toward palliative dialysis. The authors argue that our current dialysis model is overly disease-focused, prioritizing longevity and transplant readiness, which may not align with the goals of older, frail patients with high comorbidity burdens. Palliative dialysis offers a person-centered approach that prioritizes quality of life, manages symptom burden, and adapts to the patient's changing needs as they near the end of life. The review highlights innovative models such as concurrent hospice and dialysis care, and calls for policy and systemic reforms to make these compassionate, person-centered options more widely available to our patients. If you only have time for one paper this week, make it the study on urinary protein versus albumin as surrogate endpoints by Toyama and colleagues in nephrology, dialysis, transplantation. It provides critical, real-world validation for using the total protein to creatinine ratio in daily practice, offering a highly accessible alternative to albuminuria for risk stratification in chronic kidney disease. Here are the key takeaways from this week in nephrology. First, a 30% reduction in total urinary protein serves as a highly reliable surrogate endpoint for kidney failure risk, though we must still rely on albumin-specific measurements in advanced chronic kidney disease. Second, preformed donor-specific antibodies against the HLA-DQ alpha chain are common and more than double the risk of antibody-mediated rejection, meaning they must be integrated into our standard pre-transplant risk assessments. Third, the combination of tocilizumab and intravenous immunoglobulin is an effective and safe desensitization strategy that significantly lowers antibody burden and facilitates transplantation in highly sensitized candidates. Fourth, polygenic risk scores from the general population successfully predict kidney function decline in patients with type 1 diabetes confirming distinct genetic pathways for filtration loss versus barrier dysfunction. Finally, our specialty must actively transition toward upstream collaborative care for cardiovascular kidney metabolic syndrome, while simultaneously championing person-centered palliative dialysis models for our frailest patients. That's your roundup for this week in nephrology. The full transcript and references are available on the episode page in your Audio Scholar library. This is an AI-curated summary. For clinical decisions, always consult primary sources and current guidelines. See you next week. If this weekly briefing is useful, follow the show in your podcast app so new episodes arrive automatically. And for audio briefings on your own clinical questions and papers, visit audioscholar.cc. This is an automated summary generated by artificial intelligence, which can make mistakes. Always review the original source materials.